The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Let's start with Brazil, because
yes.
Elon Musk has been being Elon Musk on Twitter, and he's been having a fairly consistent go at the judge who has made the decision to turf Twitter out.
Mm-hmm.
And this, as I understand it, is rooted in Twitter's unwillingness to deal with misinformation and disinformation in Brazil.
Yes. So this has been going on for quite a while. This spat has sort of escalated since April of this year, where serious concerns were raised as to the misinformation and disinformation on the platform. Some people were saying that it was undermining democracy in the country, which is obviously a big allegation. A judge made a decision to ban the platform from the country. We think, because it's not exact figures, it's around 21 million monthly users in Brazil. So it's a big market for the company. But a judge pulled the plug. So as of Saturday, it's not been available. And then last night, a panel of judges basically doubled down on that decision and reinforced that decision that it is correct and that the platform should not be available. There are fines, pretty hefty fines of thousands of euro if somebody is found to be using the platform via a VPN or other means. They are deadly serious about this. And some of the language that...
No, sorry, let me just check. So a VPN is a virtual private network where
yes.
I can make my computer think it's living in a different country. So if I'm in Brazil, I can use an American IP address and log on to Twitter. If I'm caught doing that, it'll cost me thousands of euro.
It'll cost you thousands of euro. The fine is... So the fine in local currency is 50,000, which is around 6,780 UK pounds. So whatever the euro equivalent of that is. So a hefty fine. This is always... as. Every conversation with Elon Musk comes back to freedom of speech, right? And there's this balance between the freedom of speech, but also responsibility. One of the judges in Brazil said that freedom of expression is closely linked to a duty of responsibility. And others have come out and said that X has become a haven for extremists. Elon Musk has said that the judge who made this initial decision is an evil dictator. There's an awful lot of inflammatory language being used. And
but no, Elon Musk has repeatedly sued for defamation and libel to try to control what people say about him.
But again, that's a different narrative, because it just depends on what he's trying to achieve in one conversation. He is trying to say that freedom of speech, you know, once you start putting boundaries on it, you can't get it back. And so X is one of the few places left in the world where people can share their opinions, and you have to have the opinions of people that even you don't agree with. But we are now going to see potentially this ban continue on for a long period of time. This is also happening at a time where the CEO of Telegram has been arrested, and you know, there's conversations as to whether the executives of these companies should be responsible for the content on their platforms. Now, up to this point, we haven't seen Elon Musk publicly anyway take reprimands or consequences all that seriously. There's investigations and there are decisions being made under EU legislation, so the Digital Services Act, in the US, in Brazil. There's a whole host of serious conversations to be had. And yet, all that we've seemed to get from Elon Musk when he does the odd interview is, you know, catchy sound bites that make him sound like the cool kid flipping up the collar of his leather jacket. He's posting an awful lot of content on his own platform, on X, that... at the very best is unhelpful, and at the very worst has been called by some as incitement to hatred.
Now, the whatever about this starting a trend in terms of national governments taking legal action against Twitter, it, I assume, further poisons the well for advertisers,
yeah.
Because the question as to whether or not a big brand would want to be associated with Twitter, that's a problem for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. We saw a report published recently from Fidelity that said that their valuation has gone down 72% since Musk took over, which is massive. The boycotts, the advertising boycotts, a lot of the big brands are just not engaging with the platform at all. It's only a matter of time before that does have consequences. We know that Twitter is now making some money in terms of the subscription services, and there's a whole host of, you know, business activity that is going on. But the question is, who are those people? What are the types of conversations that are going on?
It takes a long time to pay down 44 $1,000 million just doing a small profits.
Absolutely. From a business point of view, it's probably not a case study for us all to examine and appreciate. But at the same time, it's a really important year for elections taking place around the world. The debates and the impact of what takes place on social platforms, as we learned in 2016, it's not something you can scoff at or roll your eyes at. It does have real world consequences.
Lots of questions coming in for you. One question for Jess Kelly. Can you use Copilot for document processing on an Android tablet, Tab S7?
So when it comes to the processing with Copilot, I'm not 100% sure. I know with ChatGPT, you have to have the pro version and you have to have a plugin. But I can check it out. If you want to email techtalk@newstalk.com, I will get back to you. It is really handy. Do you know if you have a document that's, you know, anything more than 4 pages and you want to put it into one of these programs and you can say, give me 5 key bullet points or tell me what the actions are. Now, I still wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't bet my house on it. But at the same time, if you want a bit of a helping hand, it can be very beneficial.
Another one. We would appreciate your advice, or rather, I'd appreciate your advice today. Best type of smart TV. I'm confused by OLED, nano cell, etc.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of lingo when it comes to TVs. So the OLED is the organic LED lights. It's just a type of screen. It's very difficult to buy a bad telly now. But if you walk into any of the stores, you will see TVs from, say, 300 quid right up to 8 grand. Now, we bought a TV a few years ago and we had this discussion that led to a debate. But the things that we really wanted was, we obviously wanted, or not obviously, but for us, we wanted 4K, HDR, and we wanted a nice interface. The bigger thing for me is the interface on the TV, because if you buy, say, a Sony TV or a Samsung TV, they all have different layouts. It's kind of like buying a Samsung phone or an Apple phone. You know, the interface, the operating system can look a little bit different. So what I'd recommend you do is go into a store and find one that you like, that makes sense on in terms of how you navigate it. We have a Samsung OLED. We have it about 3 or 4 years now and I absolutely love it. The names are all absolutely janky and too difficult and complicated for my little brain to comprehend and recite right now. But look for the screen resolution. Look for the TV size, the screen size. What I would say, and I don't know how everyone feels about this, but if you think you can only fit a 49-inch TV, go for 55. The bigger screen, if you can fit it in. So obviously you're measuring, make sure you measure your space correctly. If you have space for the bigger size, go for the bigger size.
There's limits though, Jess.
Oh no, there's no limits.
With Microsoft ending support for Windows 10, should I update to Windows 11? Are there any issues with Windows 11? Thanks.
Yes, there are. Look, when you upgrade your software, there's a few things to take into consideration. You need to make sure that the spec of your device is compatible with the operating system. You need to make sure you have enough storage for it. And you also need to make sure that you back up all of your content before you install. The other thing to check is to make sure that any programs that you run on your Windows 10 operating system are compatible with the Windows 11 system. So say if you have a particular piece of software that you use for work or for editing photos or whatever it might be, just check that it's compatible with Windows 11.
Tech saying, please ask Jess if there's a way of joining Facebook but remaining anonymous on the platform. Thank you.
Why would you want to do that?
Millions of people do that.
There are ways to do it. You can hide your activity across the platform. I'll clarify that. When you are setting up, the terms of service is that you need to be an actual human, right? So you need to put in your own name. But when you are working your way through the platform, you can hide your activity. You can go into your privacy settings and your security settings and you can minimize your
footprint. But am I right in saying that the way that they verify that you are the person that you say they are is by connecting to an email address?
Exactly. So that's what I mean. So you have to be a person, like you have to sign up as a person with an email address.
But it's possible to get any manner of email addresses and do that, is it not?
It is.
So you don't have to be yourself. I mean, I could go on and say I'm Jessica Kelly and just get an email that's
jesskelly@hotmail.com. You wish. Look, yes, you can do that. I wouldn't advocate it for it because it is in breach of the terms of service of the platform. So just be responsible, be wise, and then you can hide your little footprints afterwards.
You wish, chicken. Jess, thank you so much. A reminder, our items today are uploaded as podcasts. You can listen to on the News Talk app powered by GoLoud. Just search for the pack.
Hi, Jess Kelly here. If you want more tech news, reviews and insights, make sure you subscribe to the Tech Talk podcast or tune in every Saturday at 5 p.m.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.